All right, folks, we got a comet that's appearing in our solar system that will be visible to the naked eye that has not been seen since the original creation of the world. And now it's making its trajectory around and it will be visible to the naked eye. They're calling this a once in a lifetime event. And wait till you hear the day, the particular day that it will be the most visible to the naked eye. And why I believe it's significant. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Friday, September 27th, and we are very blessed to be able to do our broadcast tonight. As many of you know, that we have a major hurricane, a major Category 4 hurricane that touched land. It made its landfall in right there in Florida. It went all the way up through the states. One of those states was my own home state of Georgia. Yesterday, they had this thing on track of being where in my area, where in the Atlanta Metroplex region, they were saying this was going to come through at a Category 2 wind gust up to 100 miles an hour. So we got together, we prayed, we interceded. Many of you guys were praying for us and interceding as well. And around 3 a.m. in the morning, this thing shifted and it moved. And we're here today, and I'm here to tell you, to God be the glory, we lost no power. We sustained no damage, and not even a tree fell down in our yard. So I praise God for that. I thank God for his protection and his blessing upon us. And we thank God for your prayers and your intercession. And we're going to continue to pray for you and all of you guys who've already been impacted by this and are in the crosshairs of this hurricane. So again, if you're just tuning in tonight, we want to thank you for hopping on. For you guys that do have power and you're able to hop on to the broadcast with us, we welcome you guys that will be watching the rebroadcast of this. We welcome you as well. If you're new, first time joining us, somebody invited you in, they tagged you, they shared the link with you. We welcome you to the broadcast tonight. Again, this is End Time Headlines. I am Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And let us know where you're joining us from. Let us know in the comments section below that you're new, where you guys are joining us from. And we've got a lot of people in the chat that will welcome you. We welcome you here as well. And listen, do us a favor. Smash that like button. Help us get the word out on these platforms, on Rumble and on YouTube and so on and so forth. Also, we do want to inform you that we do have a free app. It's available on Apple and Android. You can get it depending on your device. Just go to your Play Store. If you're listening by Apple or Spotify, we welcome you tonight. And again, you can go to your Play Store if you're listening, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH trademark logo, download the free app, hit yes to push notifications, you're going to be squared away. You guys watching the visual of this, if you'll just go right there under the description of this video, under that, it's going to say download our free app. All you got to do is click on that link and it's going to take you right there. And again, just go get the app, download it, and hit yes to push notifications. So let's get right into this thing. There is coming the appearance of what is called C-2023A3. They're calling this a, quote, comet of the century. This thing has not been seen since the last it traveled. Now, they're going to add, I've seen some sources put 80,000 years, tens of thousands of years. I'm going to listen, and I understand, you know, if we there's a young Earth theory or view, and then there's an old Earth view. So we're going to say we're going to put this comet, when we put all the sources of this together, it's suffice to say that this comet has not been seen since probably the origin, the alpha, the genesis, literally, of creation. So this is a old ancient comet that has not been visible since the time of creation. But according to a report, and I'm reading this from from Wired, this comet known as Atlas is considered the comet of the century. It will appear in all of its splendor in our sky during September of this month and October of 2024. Now, we've got a video I want to pull up here. We're going to watch this together. Now, this is from Travel and Shield. I'll put up the link, guys, because I want to, again, I want to interject this and say this, that when we watch these videos, I have to stop and interject commentary because this is what we, that's why we're doing a reaction video. If we don't do this, YouTube will flag us, okay? So if you want to watch the whole video uninterrupted, I'll put the link down in the description of this video so you can go watch it in your own time. But let's pull this up because we want to get some information on this comet. And I'm going to show you some stunning information today, why this is significant, why we need to be paying attention to this. And again, I believe this is yet another great and fearful sight from heaven or signs in the sun, moon, and stars. We'll talk about all that as well. All right, so here we go.
A naked eye comet is coming next week. Comet A3 is brightening. Get ready for a cosmic spectacle next week. Comet C-2023A3, Schuchinchin Atlas, is making its way toward the inner solar system, and it's brightening fast. Soon, it could be visible to the naked eye, a rare...
So again, this is going to be visible to the naked eye, and listen to what he says here.
...treat for stargazers.
A rare treat for stargazers.
Comet C-2023A3, simply known as Comet A3, is gearing up to light up the night sky, potentially dazzling stargazers in late September and early October. This celestial visitor could be bright enough to be seen without a telescope, making it a must-see event for both casual observers and astronomy enthusiasts alike.
Now, he didn't say astrologers, he said astronomy. There's a difference between astrology and astronomy, okay? Now, why am I saying that? I'll explain more in a little bit because people will hit us in the comments accusing us of worshiping the sun, moon, and stars or practicing astrology or leading people into astrology, and that's not what we're doing here. So let's go on here.
Following in the footsteps of April's 12th Peapons Brooks, dubbed the Green Comet.
Okay, stop. Now, y'all remember this comet? This was the comet. This was that green comet. This was also a once-in-a-lifetime event. This was a rare event. And this tied in with the recent solar eclipse. Now, he talks about this. Let's watch this. This is why this is significant and why I think we need to be paying attention to this.
And the unforgettable 2020 Neowise Comet, A3, is arriving in a year already rich with astronomical events, including April's total solar eclipse and May's most stunning auroras in over two decades.
Do you hear that? So these are all... Let me pull this scripture up real quick. Here's what the Gospel of Luke chapter 21 says. Now, we're going to go back to the video, but watch this. Jesus said in Luke 21:25, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And he talks about, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. Now, I want you to think about, now, obviously, we're not in the tribulation. We're in the birth pangs of the Messiah. But I want to look at this and think about this in perspective for a second. He said there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and in the stars. Then you read on, he talks about in the Gospel of Luke 21, he said there'll be great and fearful sights from heaven. And then he puts it in the same context of distress of nations with perplexity. Think about the wars, the factions, the nation against nation, the kingdom against kingdom that we're seeing right now. Then he says the seas and the waves roaring. We just had what's probably going to go down history as an historic hurricane that just hit the Gulf of Florida. Now think about this. All of this, I believe this, again, these are indications to those who understand the times and seasons of which we're in. It's given us clues of what to look for. But I find it intriguing that he talks about you've got these comets, these once-in-a-lifetime comets appearing. You had a comet that appeared during the great solar eclipse that we had, the Great American Solar Eclipse. Okay, then you had these solar storms that produced these magnificent auroras that were visible so far south that it was extraordinary. It was unprecedented. It was, it has not been seen in decades in this magnitude. So these are things, how many believe these are what Jesus talked about when he says there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, great and fearful sights from heaven?
Current projections suggest that Comet A3 could reach a brightness level of magnitude 2 or 3 by late September when it makes its first appearance at dawn. As it transitions into the evening sky by mid-October, the comet could even surprise us with an extra burst of brightness.
Now, I want to pull this back up from Wired. I want to show you this is significant. This comet, C-2023A3, will shine in the northern hemisphere sky from September 27th and will remain visible until the last week of October. During this period, the comet will reach its minimum distance from the sun before beginning its journey back out of the solar eclipse, the solar system. According to the specialized blog Cometography, the day, I'm going to highlight this, when C-2023A3 will shine the brightest will be October 2nd. Now, why is that significant? Because October 2nd will also be, look at this, let me pull this down so you can see this. October 2nd will be, at sundown, will be the beginning of Rosh Hashanah on the Jewish calendar. Again, let me say that again. This comet, a once-in-a-lifetime comet that has not been seen since the dawn of creation, will be its brightest peak on October 2nd, which happens to be, and again, right here, I'm going to show it to you, Rosh Hashanah 5785 begins at sundown on the eve of Tishrei 1, October 2nd, 2024. Now, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to pull away for a second. I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk more significantly about Rosh Hashanah or the Feast of Trumpets. It's also known as the Feast of Trumpets. Why is this significant? So now you have, now that I put this together, I want to talk to you about some things that are biblical that a lot of, you're not going to hear this a lot in church. You're not going to hear this from a lot of pastors. They don't touch on this kind of subject because it goes outside of the norm of what they teach and what they preach. They stick to a very, very elementary principle, gospel, and they don't dig any deeper than that. That's why a lot of these preachers won't even touch the book of Revelation. There's too much symbolisms. There's too much types and shadows. There's too much controversy sitting around it. So they never touch it, but that's okay because that's why God's raised up ministries like us that will do that for you. And we want to equip you with this and we want to inform you. So to better understand this, we got to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons." You guys have heard us talk about this multiple times that are regular viewers. We might have some new people that this is new to you. But again, God said that these luminaries that are put into space, put into heavens, these are not just to light up the day from the night and distinguish the two, but they are for signs and seasons. So God has appointed times and seasons based on the Hebrew calendar. I call it God's calendar, not our. We operate through what's called a Gregorian calendar, where we have 12 months of the year. January 1st is the beginning of the new year. That's not how it operates on the Hebrew calendar. All of God's appointed times are fixed, and they're fixed during certain seasons and will always occur at the same time year after year on the Hebrew calendar. The word seasons is a special event within a fixed time. The Greek word of seasons here denotes, it's a Greek word called kairos. It's kairos. This is understood to be a season when God visits the earth and his people. These are appointed seasons where he does this. For example, the season of Teshuvah. It's the season of repentance. It's a time, it's a special time where God hears the cries of repentance from the people. And according to the Hebrew thought on this, is this is when God determines the next 12 months, whether a nation will be judged or whether individuals will be judged. And I could go deep on that, but I'm not. But it's a season of Teshuvah. That's one example of this. This is understood to be a season, again, where it is it's a notable time of year that's referred to as, now this is the Hebrew of this, Moedim, or appointed times. Now, to make this very simple, God set seven major feasts in Israel. There's major feast and there's minor feast. Okay. The major feast are, there is seven major feasts, and they start with the spring feast and then the fall feast. You have Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, and that's what we're getting ready to head into on the Hebrew calendar, and the Feast of Atonement, or what's called Yom Kippur or Yom Kippur. And then you have the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? So again, these are these seven feasts. Now, again, on the Gregorian calendar, we begin our new year on January 1st. Y'all know that. We watch, so many of you guys will you'll have a New Year's Eve celebration. You'll bring in the new year with it and watch the ball drop. Remember that? Dick Clark, was it Dick Clark? I think it was. You'd go and you'd watch him bring in the new year with the ball drop. But guys, that's not the case. On the Hebrew calendar, the new year comes through Rosh Hashanah, which actually means in Hebrew, head of the year. Let me say that again. Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, literally means head of the year. This feast is one that many prophetic scholars believe might even coincide with the sounding of the trumpet when the dead in Christ will rise. Let me explain what I'm talking about here. This is why it's significant. This is why anytime you have events like this that coincide or centered around this particular feast, you get a lot of people excited in the body of Christ that understand this. Now, that's a good thing, but on the bad thing is you'll get a lot of the date setters that get themselves in trouble because they try to put the date of the rapture on that particular time. Because again, you can go right now, and I don't advise you to do this, but you can go on YouTube, you can go and look at blogs, you can go and look on Facebook pages and Instagram and TikTok, and you will see the date setters already out there telling you and telling I that the rapture will happen on October 2nd. Why? Because they probably have some insight into these cosmic signs in the heavens and that are correlating with the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. Now, could the rapture happen? Sure. Of course it could. But I don't think it will. I don't think it will, because Jesus said it's going to come in a day and hour that you think not. Okay? And again, and the fact that men are predicting it and making this notion makes me more to believe that it's not going to take place. Again, I want to say this again. I want to reiterate this. Could the rapture happen during the Feast of Trumpets this year, next year? Absolutely. And if I was to put, now, you know, let me explain this. I probably shouldn't even touch this because I'm opening a whole other can of worms. Did you know that the four out of seven feasts, Christ has already fulfilled? He already fulfilled Passover. He became the Passover lamb. He fulfilled unleavened bread. He fulfilled the Feast of First Fruits when he raised from the dead. And the Bible says that many of the graves of old were opened up and many of the saints of old were seen walking around. He fulfilled that. And then he fulfilled the Feast of Pentecost on Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost in the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell on all that were in that room. Now, the only three feasts left that have not been fulfilled is the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Prophetically speaking, I believe the rapture will, again, when it does happen, it's going to take place likely during the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, during that season, and it will fulfill this. The rapture will take place during this. Oh, Lord, why am I doing this? I'm going to get myself in trouble because I'm going to go on this tangent, go on this side trail. You do realize, I'm going to take a side trail just for a second because I've already gone down this path. I'm going to have to do it. You do realize when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, and he wrote to the Church of Corinth, and he talks about in both of those books, or letters rather, it's letters, books to us, but they're actual letters. In those letters, he references the last trumpet or the last trump or the sound of the trumpet. Now, he didn't have to elaborate to a Jewish audience what he was talking about because they all understood what I'm telling you today. They understood the Feast of Trumpets. And during the Feast of Trumpets, there is a series of trumpets that are blown that during that time that are, these are from a ram's horn. They're blown during that time. These shofars are blown and they make different sounds. And the last trumpet of the cessation of trumpets that are blown in Hebrew is called Tekiah Hagedulah. And it literally means the last trumpet. And I believe again, when Christ comes and raptures or harpezos or catches up or gathers together, whatever terminology you want to use, and brings the church out, I believe it will be during the Feast of Trumpets. And then the Feast of, he'll fulfill the Feast of Atonement because this symbolizes the coming of the day of the Lord, because Jude says he comes back with the saints out of heaven to execute judgment upon all the ungodly for all their ungodly deeds. That's in the book of Jude. But then, come on, Jesus sets up his kingdom and he makes his tabernacle among men for the millennial reign or the 1,000 year reign of Christ. And this will fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles. So again, seven feasts, four have been fulfilled prophetically speaking. The last three have not. So again, I want to reiterate that. I know I took a rabbit trail or I took a side trail, but I'm coming back on the main highway. Could the rapture take place this October 2nd? Absolutely. But will it? Probably not. Okay, but you know what? Let's live as though he was coming back because we don't know. And John says that we should live in a way that when he appears, we are not found ashamed at his coming. Come on, can I get an amen, somebody in the chat or listening or watching? So look, we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, okay? This particular feast is very interesting because rabbinically speaking, this particular feast has been associated with the creation of mankind, the binding of Isaac, the words of the prophets, the first day of the 10 days of repentance, that's the days of awe, to anticipate the ingathering of the dispersed of Israel and to recall the coming day of judgment. This is what all this is centered around. Now, I've got another whole page of notes that I want to talk to you about the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah, but I don't want to do that because if I get into that, it's going to take away from what we're centered on there. So we'll do a whole teaching on Rosh Hashanah when we get to it. So we're getting ready to come up on this. Maybe we'll come back, we'll revisit this, and we'll get in a whole lot more a deeper detail of this. Remember, Jesus said there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and in the stars. Somebody say the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then he said there will be great and fearful sights from heaven. And these again are all indicators of the coming of the Lord. Now let's talk about comets. Comets are significant because all of our regular listeners and viewers, you already have an understanding of this, but bear with the newcomers. Those who have only been with this for maybe a few days or a few weeks or a couple months, and maybe they don't know this, they don't understand this. So we're all learning here, okay? Throughout history, comets have always been viewed as harbingers of major events, including wars. Somebody say wars. And other significant historical changes. Somebody say historical changes. I want to highlight these two things that we're talking about today. Wars and historical changes. Some of these notable comets that were observed before major wars or conflicts were the following. In 66 AD, Halley's Comet was visible, and this took place 4 years prior to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, okay? Halley's Comet was also visible in 1066 AD, and this took place right at the Norman conquest of England. This was known as the Battle of Hastings that took place where William the Conqueror invaded England, defeating King Harold II. This battle led to the Norman conquest of England. Then there was what was called the Great Comet of 1456. Shortly after the visibility of this comet of what they called the Great Comet of 1456, the Ottoman Turkish Empire laid siege to Belgrade, and the comet was seen as a harbinger or an omen. It was coinciding with interesting tensions between Christians and the Ottoman forces. This comet took place right before this took place. Then there was Halley's Comet of 1759. Halley's Comet made an appearance in 1759, and this was during one of the world's first global conflicts. What was known as the Seven Years' War was raging across Europe, North America, and parts of Asia. This war is widely known as World War because of its widespread impact. Then there was the Comet of 1811. This comet was visible for 260 days, and it was one of the longest observed comets in history. It was seen during the height of the Napoleonic Wars, where with Napoleon's disastrous invasion of Russia in 1812, followed soon after, many viewed this comet as an omen or a harbinger for Napoleon. Then in 1910, you had Halley's Comet again, making its appearance 4 years later. World War I officially began. And then in 1997, you had the appearance of Halbop Comet. And again, what followed after that was this was known as the post-war on terrorism because, again, Halbop Comet appeared in 1997. Then you had 1998, 99, 2000. 4 years later, are you hearing this? The Twin Towers in America were struck, and we went into a full global conflict in the Middle East. Okay, and by the way, this Halbop Comet was also the same comet that historians date back to its original appearance was seen by Noah when he was building the ark. And another thing that is extremely interesting and I believe absolutely significant was there was also what was called the Great Comet of 1811, and also in other writings, it was called the Tokushima, I believe it's how you pronounce that, comet, and it was seen, ready for this? During the time that the New Madrid fault line blew in 1811, 1812, right there in the heartland of America, which again is where that X crossed from the recent solar eclipse. And by the way, that comet, this was in 1811, right? It circled back around, and this is the same comet that we just saw recently with this deviled horn comet. Is that exact comet And it just so happened that it made its visibility during the same time frame as this solar eclipse called the Great American Solar Eclipse that we just saw. Friends, listen, I don't care how you slice that. You can call it coincidence or happenstance. No, I call it absolutely prophetic, and I believe it's a harbinger. Now, I want to go back and I want to remind you of something here. Remember when I told you to say these words? Throughout history, let's refresh your memory. Throughout history, comets have been viewed by the ancients as harbingers of major events, especially, ready, wars and significant historical changes. And here we are, as of the recording of this, Israel is, some say they're already in a full-scale war in Lebanon with Hezbollah. Other sources, depending on who you listen to, who you watch, other sources say they're on the brink of a full-scale war. But let me give you some updates on this. This war has escalated to the point where Israel, and I'm going to rehash some of the stuff I've talked about the last time we came on. Israel is now at war in five fronts in the Middle East. Again, I'm going to say that again. Israel's at war in five fronts across the Middle East. China instructed citizens that are in Israel to leave. Other countries instructing citizens to leave. America has given instructions for citizens to leave. A special situation on the home front has been issued by Israel. The Israeli Defense Forces have called up two reserve brigades for the northern arena. Again, the Israeli military announced Wednesday afternoon that two reserve brigades will be called up for deployment in Operation Northern Arrows. Now, according to what I have researched, a brigade consists of up to about 4,000 troops. So when they say two reserve brigades, we're talking up to 8,000 soldiers have been called up for reserves, again, for the Israeli military. Then we have a report from BBC News, wherein which it said that the prime minister has told British nationals in Lebanon to leave immediately after fighting intensified between Israel and Hezbollah, the Iran-backed army group which dominates the country. The prime minister said that, quote, we are ramping up the contingency plans and warned that we are potentially at the brink, look at this, of all-out war. The Ministry of Defense is sending 700 troops to nearby Cyprus to, quote, prepare for the possible evacuation of British nationals from Lebanon, and the government continues to advise against all travel to Lebanon. Here's another report. Look at this, guys. 40,000 fighters from Iraq, Yemen, and Syria are gathering in the Golan Heights to, what is their purpose? To form a confederacy against Israel. Folks, listen. That is absolutely biblical. Psalms 83 tells you plainly they will form a confederacy against Israel with the intent to wipe Israel out and that the name of Israel be remembered no more. Are you kidding me? And again, right here, it's leaping off the pages. Come on, y'all need to share this. Get this word out to your friends, your family, your coworkers, and say, we are living in the birth pangs of the Messiah. The end times are upon us, just like the word of God said. 40,000 fighters from Iraq, Yemen, and Syria, all gathering in the Golan Heights as these tensions mount. And again, I want to emphasize that it talks about Syria mentioned here. Syria also has a prophecy hanging over their head because their capital, according to Isaiah, who peered into the future by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saw a day would come when the capital of Syria called Damascus, something would happen and they would be left a ruinous heap. The report says the Israeli army is monitoring the situation closely and that these forces are awaiting orders from Hezbollah's Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah. Now, I want to show you a new report. This is breaking news. These 40,000 fighters, I'm going to say that again, are waiting for orders from Hezbollah Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah. Now look at this. Being that Israel gathered this information, look, this is breaking news as of today. Hezbollah leader Nasrallah reportedly targeted, look at this, an Israeli airstrikes on Beirut. Two killed and dozens injured. The report says that Israel has carried out what is said were multiple airstrikes on the main military headquarters of Hezbollah in the southern suburbs of Beirut, with Israeli media claiming that the leader of Hezbollah, again, this is Hassan Nasrallah, was present at the time of this strike. So it's not immediately clear if Nasrallah was killed in the strike or not. So as of the recording of this now, we don't have that information. But again, this is the same guy that these 40,000 fighters that are conforming a they're forming a confederacy. They're waiting for this guy's command and his green light to give them to attack Israel. Meanwhile, so you got the Middle East is a ball of fire, guys, that's blowing up. Meanwhile, NATO is preparing mass evacuations and rescue plans as the senior general warns of World War III with Russia. The report indicates that NATO is mobilizing its resources and strategic plans in anticipation of potential all-out war. Guys, this is some serious stuff here. As articulated by Lieutenant General Alexander Solfrank, who is the head of NATO's Logistics Command, this urgent preparation underscores a grim reality. The specter of World War III is, quote, looming. In these 2.5 years of war in Ukraine, we see how U.S. and NATO support for Kyiv has breached one by one all of Russian so-called red lines up until we come to the frightening position that the West is about to greenlight attacks with its long-range missiles deep into Russian territory, quote, a move that can unleash unimaginable consequences. That has led Russian President Vladimir Putin to once again warn that the U.S. and NATO would be, quote, at war with Russia if the West allows Ukraine to use long-range missiles. In fact, as we will see, be the ones to fire them. In preparation for this, according to the Daily Mail, this general has confirmed that NATO is, quote, developing mass evacuation and rescue strategies to address the anticipated challenges of a major conflict with Russia. In a concerted effort to bolster its defenses, NATO has recently launched its largest military exercises since the Cold War, involving 90,000 troops from over 30 allied nations. All right, stop. Listen to me for a second. Now, you may be watching this and listening to this, and you say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't know about all those signs in the heavens and that comet stuff and that solar eclipse stuff and this and that. Look, as I always say, I'm putting pieces of the puzzle out on the table. You can do what you want with it. But it captures my attention when I study history and I understand the times and seasons which we're in from a biblical prophetic perspective. And I understand that these once-in-a-lifetime events are not just luminaries and they're not just cosmic happenstances that coincide with certain feasts of Israel. When God says in his word, they are put there for times and seasons or appointed times, and these are harbingers. They're warning signs to generations to discern and properly prepare. Now you may say, well, how do we, okay, fine, Brother Ricky, we got that. We discern it. We can see now that these comets that are showing up and appearing, once in a lifetime comets, not one, but two, three comets, they're all coinciding around solar eclipses and major disasters in America, and are harbingers of major events, howbeit wars and historical changes. Now, you guys do realize that they're saying that this election could go down as one of the most historical elections in the history of America. Now, why? Because there's a lot at stake, friend. There's a lot at stake. And so, depending on the outcome of this, it can bring major historical changes and transitions. If you didn't watch, and Lord, I don't even know which podcast it was. We did it this week. It was either, it was probably Tuesdays or Wednesdays. We know because Monday nights are prayer. One of those 2 days, we did a podcast on the new pact that the UN just established and signed into place. What that means for a new global order, all of this is significant because whoever becomes president of the United States, guys, they're going to be heavily involved in this. So what am I saying here? I'm trying to tell you that I don't believe in coincidences when you have events in the heavens that are deemed to be harbingers that has a history of it that are falling on these feast days or appointed times and seasons. And it just so happens that yet another once in a lifetime comet that has not been seen since the dawn of the creation of humanity is making its appearance, and it will become the brightest on the very day on the Hebrew calendar that begins the new year. Now, on the Jewish calendar, the year 5785. Rabbis see this, guys. We as Americans don't understand this, but rabbis understand each year, and it's significant in Hebrew. It means something. Now, from what I'm gathering in my own research, the year 5785, again, on the Jewish calendar, Rosh Hashanah coming up October 2nd at sundown. The year 5785 is, it means in Hebrew is hey, or that's the number five. And the letter means to look or behold, as in, listen to this, something looking and beholding as something shocking or something to behold. It's something that gets the attention of humanity. Now that, wow. If that doesn't give you chills, let me say that again. 5785 means to look or to behold as in something that is shocking to behold, or it captures the attention of humanity. So what does that mean, Brother Ricky? I don't know. I'm just telling you, we need to be paying attention. And isn't it interesting that the year 5785 means to look or to behold and to capture the attention of the world. And it just so happens that this comet will be visible in the sky by the naked eye, and it will have its brightest appearance on the day that we enter into 5785. And comets have a history of coinciding with major wars and conflicts and changes in the world itself. Listen, that's enough for me to know that we are heading into some very trying and turbulent times. So again, you can do what you want with this information today, but I want to leave you with Luke 21, 28. And when in that same passage of Luke 21, he says, there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth, perplexity, nations will be in perplexity. He talks about there will be the waves and seas roaring, men's hearts failing from the fear of the expectation that are coming upon the earth. And then he goes on and he talks about in Luke 21, 28, he said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is surely drawing near. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, we would love for you guys to download our free app. This is how you're going to keep up with this. Do not rely on social media outlets alone. Listen, we'd love for you to subscribe to us on YouTube and Rumble and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all of these places. But again, the best way to keep up with this is download our free app, hit yes to push notifications, and this is how you're going to keep up with this. Also, it's Friday, and that means the next time we'll be back on here with you guys is Monday night prayer, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Everywhere that you're listening or watching from, if it's not YouTube, you need to get over here and subscribe to us on YouTube so you can be a part of these live prayer sessions. Again, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on our YouTube channel. We have some amazing prayer time. I believe God honors our prayers. You know, this past Monday, we prayed about this hurricane. We prayed that God would protect people, that he would preserve their homes and their communities. And listen, even if you sustained damage, even if you had trees fall, even if you had flooding, if your lives are intact, come on, you can replace a house, you can replace a tree, but you can't replace a life. Come on, can I get an amen, somebody? So listen, we just thank God and we praise God. And there was people that lost their lives in this. And I just pray that they knew the Lord, and we pray for their families. And this is what we do on Monday night. So we're going to get together as a corporate body, and we pray about events, circumstances, situations. We pray for one another as the Bible commands us to do. So we would love for you guys to be a part of this. Hey, listen, if this ministry blesses you guys and it informs you, it equips you, we would love for you guys to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. Again, we're not selling the gospel as some people has accused us of, because we don't sell anything. It's hard to accuse somebody of selling something if they're giving everything free. Come on. Are you hearing me? So all of our podcasts are free. Our subscription is free. We don't charge a subscription to our website. It's free. The app is free. We don't sell merchandise. So all we ask is, if this ministry is a blessing to you, or if this is your home church, you be obedient to the Lord, and the Lord will bless you. And we want to give you that opportunity to do that. So listen, if you're watching us here on YouTube, in the chat, right there at the top of the chat, you see that link clicked up there where it says support? Just click on there and you can give electronically right there. Whatever the Lord leads you to, or you can give, you can go to the app. If you have the app, go down to the bottom where it says donate. You can click there and donate. Or, again, there's many different ways you can give: by check or money order. You can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Now I'm going to answer a question that I asked. I feel like the Spirit of God just kind of prompted me to do this. Okay, so we understand these times and seasons. We understand this. So how do we prepare? Listen, this is how we pray. Prepare. We pray. Number one, we pray. We pray and prepare. We pray about it. Pray about everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, right? Number two, we prepare the best we can. Okay? You prepare the best you can. There's the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and financial ways you can prepare about things. Make a bug out bag, have supplies on hand, extra food, extra water, have some cash on hand with small bills. These are the natural ways you can prepare you and your family. And then Noah prepared his family. Come on, by building the ark, he prepared his family. He prepared his family in accordance to what he saw was coming. So we don't build a physical ark, but we prepare our family. We create the ark by making a place of refuge, a place of protection under the shadow of the Almighty, by creating an atmosphere of intercession and prayer, and abiding under the blood of Jesus and in covenant with him. And you do this by being born again. Come on, coming to Jesus Christ, having him put your name in a Lamb's Book of Life. And if you, and I don't know, this is probably a very small percentage, but if you happen to be watching this and you don't have a covenant with Jesus Christ, I implore you today, friend, to repent of your sins and put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, so that your sins will be blotted out. your name could be established in the registry of heaven called the Lamb's Book of Life. So that, watch this, no matter what lies ahead, so you can rest assured to know that you are found in him when he appears. Come on, amen. Or whatever happens before, you know, if the Bible says appointed unto man wants to die and then the judgment. We would all love to go in the rapture, but the truth is the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then those that are alive and remain, they shall be caught up. So not all of us are going to be able to be caught up on that day, but there will be a generation that will be caught up. So until that time, friends, we're going to keep plowing. We're going to keep sowing the seed. We're going to keep watering that seed, and we're going to continue to believe God for a harvest. So again, we love you. We appreciate you. Hit that like button. Help us push this word out. And we're going to let you go for tonight. We will see, we'll be gone for this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and then we'll be right back here, Lord willing, Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for a great night of corporate prayer. Until we see you then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a few days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.